You know, no one likes a backseat driver. Literally, we don't like someone telling us from the passenger seat of the car that we should have made that last right turn, or that the lane just to the left might be a little clearer. And less literally, it's aggravating to get advice from someone who thinks they know our business better than we do. The text that Chris just read from the Gospel of Luke begins with one of those irritating moments this morning, and it's Jesus who's offering advice. Jesus is standing by the lake, teaching people. Teaching is his job, what people expected him to do. And then Luke tells us Jesus sees two boats parked on the shore. The fishermen, who are busy doing their jobs, are out on the sand, washing their nets. They're done fishing for the day. It hasn't been a very good night, and there wasn't much fish to catch, and they're not in a very good mood. But Jesus is not being very sensitive to their grumpiness. And he climbs right into the boat, and he just sits there. "Can you row out a little way?" he asks the boat's owner, Simon Peter. Simon Peter rolls his eyes a little. He's busy, but he obliges. He's a little curious, too, about this young teacher and healer that everyone is talking about. And this is all fine. It's a nice day, and bobbing in the water right off the shore is therapeutic. This God that Jesus keeps talking about seems to be a lovely and peaceful, if sort of abstract, concept. Peter is in charge of the boat, which he knows like the back of his hand. And then Jesus steps over the line. "Row out into the deep water and let out your nets for a catch." Now he's treading on thin ice. Peter's ice. Jesus is not the fisherman, Peter is. And so Peter says politely, "We've already been fishing all night, and we didn't catch anything." And he thinks to himself, not so politely, "I have been doing this for a long time, and I don't need you to tell me how to do my work." And even though he hasn't exactly been successful in this last round of fishing, Peter has a pretty firm fix, he thinks, on his reality. This is where you fish. This is a safe distance to go offshore. This is how you do things. If sometimes you don't succeed, well, you just live with it. That deep water where you think all the fish are, Jesus, I was out there once, a long time ago, and I know that water is dark and rough and hard to manage and scary. You, Jesus, you stick with the spiritual stuff. I'll take care of the fishing. Now, you know from the story that eventually Peter says, okay, he'll do it. He ventures out into the deep water and lets down the nets where Jesus tells him to. And you know that when they went out into the deep, those fishermen did find fish, and they caught them, hundreds of fish, so many that the nets almost broke, and those little boats that had always been plenty strong before almost sank. This story is Luke's telling of how Jesus called his first disciples, but it's this moment in the story, before they follow Jesus, that I want to linger in for just a moment longer, because I think it says something about who Simon Peter was when he heard Jesus' call, and about how we might hear that call when it comes to us. Simon Peter is a regular guy. He wasn't on a vision quest. He was just doing his work the way he'd always done it before Jesus came along. And he's just had a bad day at work, So he's not feeling all that receptive to good fishing ideas from carpenters. But Jesus pushes through Peter's resistance. He's got something on his mind. There's an urgency in what Jesus is calling these disciples for, even though no one else can see it yet. There was something out there in that deeper water where your feet can't touch the bottom and the swirls are a little faster and the waves are a little rougher and where you're not very comfortable, that Jesus can see, but we can't. It's something good, something fulfilling, maybe even something life-changing. But Jesus can't get Peter out there unless he shakes him up a little. And so he does it, not by berating or criticizing him, but by startling him with a catch of fish that doesn't fit the regular pattern at all. All of us live comfortably in a set of patterns. Patterns that have been formed out of the ways that we have learned to live, how we react to the everyday duties and responsibilities of our lives. And we don't often examine those patterns consciously. They're just there. They're helpful. Patterns and routines allow us to take care of the things that we need to without thinking about them too much. We're comfortable in our routines. Rarely do we question them or change them on our own. Like a favorite pair of old slippers or an easy chair, they're just ours. Fishing was that kind of pattern for Peter. He'd probably grown up around it. Most likely his father was a fisherman and his father before that. The routines of sailing, casting, bringing in the catch, cleaning the fish, getting them sold, caring for the equipment, sometimes those things worked smoothly, sometimes they didn't, but he could do them almost without thinking about them. He knew what he was doing. I have known people, probably you have too. Maybe you've been one of these people who don't get the care that they need, sometimes medical, sometimes psychological, sometimes just what we are offered from other people, because it's less disruptive just to live with things that aren't working. I get that. The thing that kept me practicing law for years longer than I was happy doing it was that I knew how to do it. I was reluctant to give up something that I had gotten good at and felt comfortable doing. Even on bad days, this was something I knew. I couldn't imagine being a beginner at something else. Putting myself in the position of having to learn how to do something entirely new. And so for a long time, I was stuck in something that wasn't making me happy or fulfilled, but it was less risky, less disruptive, less frightening than any alternative I could think of. I was Peter, rowing back that short distance to the shore after nights of meager fishing, but willing to just wash my nets and go back the next day to try again, to see if it might be different. And then Jesus comes along and says, "That's not really working so well, is it? There's a better way." And how did Peter react when he heard Jesus talking to him about the work he thought he was the expert at? With joy, gratitude, curiosity? Nope. He fell on his knees, maybe with awe, but maybe also with a little bit of resentment. Because what Luke tells us is that Peter's next words were, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." In other words, get out of here. I cannot deal with you messing around with my routine. So what's that about? As useful as our routines and patterns are in helping us get through our lives, the danger in them is that they can become like prisons to us. Places where we are so comfortable that any suggestion that we venture out can sound to us not right, maybe even unfair, threatening. We react quickly, often by thinking, "I don't do that," or sometimes, "I can't do that." Sometimes we might even say, "You don't know what you're talking about." That's fear. Fear that what has seemed to us like doing the best we can may not be enough. Fear that the bottom has dropped out of that shallow water we've been comfortable paddling around in, and we are being called out into deeper water where we can't see or touch the bottom. And often, whoever or whatever it is that has made it uncomfortable for us to keep going as we always have before looks to us not like a teacher, but like an enemy. Jesus did not respond to Peter's discomfort by saying, "It's okay, go back to that shallow water and maybe tomorrow will be a better day." Instead, he said, "Do not be afraid. Follow me," Jesus said. "Bring everything you know about fishing out into that deeper water, and together we will do something extraordinary." Three notes I hope you will take away from this story. First, the real Jesus, not the one who we're making up in our heads to make us feel better about ourselves. The real Jesus says, "I need you to stop being afraid. We have work to do." You don't look to Jesus if what you're looking for is simply to be affirmed in what you are already doing or who you already are. Because Jesus is always calling you, calling each of us into some new place, hoping we will discover something else, who God hopes and dreams for us to be. Comfort is not always Jesus' first priority. Secondly, I want you to see that there's a sort of irony in this story, that the one who says, "Do not be afraid," is the same voice that says, "Go out into deeper water." Jesus never says, "There is nothing to fear." This is not a risk-free life he is inviting us to. He does not say, "Make yourself a safe place," or "Investigate first." He says, "Do not be afraid." It's not danger that keeps us from moving out into the water where all those good fish are swimming. It's our fear. And finally, notice that this call to Peter didn't happen in a holy place, the temple or the synagogue or church. It happened at work. It could just as well have happened at home, while Peter was checking the balance in his retirement account, or after a sleepless night worrying about one of his children. The call to change your routine, to row out into deeper water, comes not to extraordinary holy people, but to fishermen and office workers, teenagers and grandparents. Sometimes it comes in a in a winsome, coaxing voice, and sometimes it comes as a challenge, and sometimes it comes as an accident or a loss that makes your old routines literally impossible. It comes to any of us, to all of us. The call can come at any time, whether we are young and looking for our purpose or old and feeling settled, finished. Do not be afraid, God says to us over and over again. Let our hope be not to be kept from fearful things, but to be unafraid of them. Let our prayer be the one that was written by Sir Francis Drake many centuries ago. He said, "Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we dreamed too little, when we arrived safely because we sailed too close to home." Amen.